Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate All Saints Sunday, the day we celebrate those saints, the believers in Christ, who have entered into the church triumphant. They no longer suffer on earth. Instead, they are with the Lord in the eternal glory of heaven itself for all of eternity. One of the things we naturally think of is, what's heaven going to be like? And that's a good thing to think about. It's a really important question to ask. When you think about it, most of our life will be spent in heaven. We spend perhaps a few decades here on earth, but the rest of eternity will be in heaven. Heaven is our real home. Philippians tells us our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. Here on earth, we are out of place. We are aliens and exiles, outcasts while we wander around this sinful and painful world, eagerly looking forward to being in our true home, or citizens of heaven who have been displaced. So what's heaven like? Well, it's impossible for me or any other human to put into words. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It's impossible to put into words how wonderful heaven truly is. The Bible does give us some pictures to give us an idea and help us to anticipate the joys that await us in heaven. These pictures are hints. They're not the complete reality of heaven, but they do give us an idea of what heaven is like. Let me share with you three pictures of heaven from Scripture. The first picture of heaven is green pastures and still waters. Like Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Now, that certainly refers to this life on earth, because even in this place of suffering, our good shepherd Jesus leads us to green pastures and still waters, places of peace in the midst of this troubled world. And that's the picture David paints for us in Psalm 23. When sheep have plenty of food, plenty of life-giving water, and the presence of their good shepherd, then they can be perfectly content. Then they can rest in peace. Even though this world is a difficult and challenging place to live, the Lord is our shepherd. Because of that, we can have peace and contentment. Our good shepherd provides for us so that we shall not want. And our good shepherd protects us. We can always know he's close by. We are safe in his presence. Even in this place of suffering, our good shepherd Jesus leads us to green pastures and still waters, places of peace in a troubled world. But ultimately, the Good Shepherd is leading us through this life, through the valley of the shadow of death, and taking us to his home. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That house of the Lord is heaven, and heaven is full of greener pastures and living waters. That's talked about today in our first reading, Revelation chapter 7. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne shall be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the Lord's house. Heaven is the place where the pastures are much greener, and the water is living water. He will guide them to springs of living water. Remember what Jesus promised the Samaritan woman. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 4, 13 and 14. Our shepherd gives us the best water of all living water, and it gives us eternal life. Revelation 7 is an overwhelming picture of heaven. Multitudes from every nation dressed in white robes that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, singing hymns around the throne of God with the angelic choirs. It's a magnificent picture. But the most emotional part for me is verse 17, where it says that our good shepherd will lead us to springs of living water, and God our Father wipes away every tear from our eyes. In the midst of all this glory and majesty, we see the tender love and mercy of God, gently wiping away the tears of his children, welcoming them to their true home, leaving behind the world of death and suffering, as if we were waking up from a nightmare. But now we're awake, we're in the true reality, the reality of heaven, our real home, the place of greener pastures, the place of living waters, the place of contentment and peace. So one picture of heaven is green pastures and still waters, the living waters that Jesus leads us to. The second picture is, well, more of what we hear, worship and music. Some people want to know, will we be playing harps in heaven? That's something that gets pictured all the time when people draw pictures or cartoons of heaven. And it's a good question because Revelation does mention harps. It mentions harps three times, always in connection with the worship of God. Here in Revelation 5, the angels are playing the harps and singing. In Revelation chapter 14, we hear the sound of many harps playing, but it doesn't say who's playing them. And in Revelation 15, we see the victorious saints of God playing their harps around the throne of God. Now, when Revelation talks about harps, are they harps like we know today? Probably not. Almost certainly not. In fact, I'm sure it symbolizes something infinitely greater. The point is that there's music in heaven, even though it will be music that is far greater than any music that could be performed here on earth. There is music in heaven, and that is not surprising at all to any of us, because all of us know music is God's good gift. One of the interesting things about music is that everyone loves music. Now, when I say that, I realize not everyone likes the same music. In fact, everybody has slightly different tastes in music, don't we? I mean, if you don't believe me, just take a road trip, right? You get four people in a car, try to decide what you're going to listen to for the next hour, and man, fights can break out pretty quick. Everyone has different tastes, but everyone likes some form of music. And that's not just in our culture, not just in Western culture. In every culture known to man, music plays an important role in people's lives. And again, that's not surprising. Music is God's good gift. It is powerful, and it impacts our emotions. Music is transcendent. It takes us out of our normal reality and transports to an entirely different place, sometimes beyond the normal range or beyond the range of normal human experience. And of course, music, when all is said and done, is one of the great joys of life. Of course, there's music in heaven. Of course, there's instruments of some sort in heaven. And of course, the best use of music is when it is used to worship God, like Psalm 147 verse 7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, make melody to our God on the lyre. A lyre is a small harp used in the Old Testament to accompany worship, along with many other instruments like trumpets and flutes and even lutes, an early version of the guitar. God gives us music so that we can sing and make melody to the Lord with thanksgiving and with joy. What an incredible gift music is. Now, Revelation, as I said, mentions harps three times, always in connection with the worship of God. Revelation is many things, but it's partly a musical. It's full of songs and music and worship. There's a song that starts in Revelation 4 and keeps getting added to throughout the book. It starts with the praise of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Revelation 4:8, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now, if that sounds familiar, well, it's because you've heard it lots of times before, certainly in the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Of course, it's also the same song that Isaiah sees in his vision of God's throne, the seraphim around the throne of God singing, Holy, Holy, Holy. And it's also the same song we will sing today, right before we have Holy Communion. As we enter in a very special way into God's holy presence, we sing the Sanctus. We join with the angels in heaven in singing their song. Or as I like to put it, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The worship in Revelation starts with Holy, Holy, Holy in chapter 4, and in chapter 19 it ends with Alleluia, the song of victory. Revelation 19:1 says, after this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting Alleluia. Four times that great multitude that no one could count sings Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Revelation 19, 6 and 7. Yes, there is music in heaven, music beyond what we have ever heard on earth. There is music in heaven, great music, music and worship and joy. Finally, number three, we have the picture of green pastures and still waters, a picture of peace. We have the picture of music and singing, which is a picture of joy. And of course, number three, we have the feast, which is a picture of love. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. Matthew 22, verse 1. Revelation 19, verse 9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus, I think most of the time when he talked about heaven, compared it to a feast, usually a wedding feast. What a wonderful picture of heaven is that is. Now, why a wedding feast? Well, first of all, it's a celebration. Marriage feasts were the greatest celebrations in the Bible, and they still are today. People put a lot of time and money and work in preparing their wedding and their wedding reception, rightfully so. They are incredible times of great joy. In the times of Jesus, wedding celebrations would last a long time, several days, sometimes as long as a week. They really knew how to celebrate in those days. But the thing about a wedding feast is it's not just a celebration, it's also a gathering of all the people you love the most. It's a celebration of the entire family and your friends. Heaven is a family celebration that never ends. All our brothers and sisters will be there, our spiritual brothers and sisters, those who have been baptized, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and have been given the white robe of Christ's righteousness to wear. All of them will be gathered around the throne, and we will know them, and we will love them. Every relationship you have in heaven will be closer than any relationship, any friendship you have ever had here on earth. But more important than that, you will be with the one who loves you the most. You will see God in all his glory, and you will see him face to face. There is not an experience on earth that can possibly prepare you for the joy you will feel when you see God face to face. And you will dwell with him forever in his peace, in his joy, and in his love. However great you think heaven is, let me just assure you, it's better than that, but it's fun to think about. But in the words of Scripture, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.